Giles here, and knowing that we have a family audience, and the Purple People often include some very young people, just to say that today's episode does include some language that some people may find uncomfortable or offensive. Welcome to Something Rhymes with Purple, live. Yes, this is our final show from the Fortune Theatre in London. It's a packed theatre. We're very excited. This is our last visit to the lovely Fortune Theatre in Covent Garden. And what are we planning to do today? Is it going to be our normal podcast or something a bit different?
Do our normal podcast, but I think this is going to be a subject that you know an awful lot about.
Ah, taxidermy. Yeah, what's it going to be?
That's a good one, actually. We should do
one. We haven't done that, actually. And then I can say, get stuffed,
yes,
every few minutes.
I knew that was where you were going with that. Now, we're talking about gossip today.
Ooh, gossip.
I thought you would love gossip because you love telling stories and tall tales sometimes, but you don't tend to gossip about other people so much.
Funnily enough, I'm not a great gossip. I love stories about people, anecdotes, and I do collect those, but I'm not very good when it comes to tittle-tattle. Well, already we're getting words. Can we begin with the very word gossip? Because the idea, if you're new to our podcast, and some people in the live audience are new, and even there'll be new people listening to it, basically, we explore words and language, particularly the etymology of words, where they come from. And gossip, is that a word that's been around a long time? What is the origin of it?
This is one of the most curious etymologies, I think, in our language. And you will remember it when I start talking about it, because we have mentioned this before. So essentially, gossip began as god sib, which meant a god relative. We talk about siblings today. Originally a sibling was just a relative. So a god sib was a relative, sort of decreed by God, if you like. It was a god parent. And the first god sib, in the sense of gossip, was essentially a woman who accompanied a mother who was giving birth. And she would be there during labour, maybe a bit like a doula today. And the implication was that this godparent, this godmother, would chat a lot all the way through and after, etc. Just engage in conversation. But because women have unfortunately been, well, people have decided that women are sort of chattering tittle-tattlers, the idea is that this god sib was spreading the gossip of the town. So god sib eventually became gossip.
So god sib, as in god parent, sib as in sibling, and the abbreviation of sibling, becomes gossip.
Yes.
And now you say that, I'm recalling that in several plays by Shakespeare, that these women are referred to as gossip, her gossips, meaning these are like, well, women who are
attendant
upon mothers are known as the gossips.
Yes.
How interesting.
I know. And as we will discover, this association between women and gossiping is really, really strong, and then it's percolated through language.
And what period does this word, what does
God sip? So gossip, you can go, it's probably 1,000 years old, really, this idea. And gossip itself, probably around 1300, something like that.
And people who spread gossip are known as gossipers, gossip mongers?
Mm-hmm, gossip mongers.
And where does a gossip monger come from?
Monger is a weird one. So the costermongers of London, do you remember the costermongers?
Of course.
They were the ones who particularly spread Cockney rhyming slang. And a coster is probably short for costard, which was a big apple that they would sell in the markets. And monger goes back to a Latin word mango, nothing to do with the fruit. It's a Malay word. But mango meant a trader or a trafficker, particularly in women. So it wasn't a particularly nice thing in Roman times, but it gave us the idea of trading.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's such a big area, gossip, because it can be trivial gossip, and there can be serious gossip. I'm currently reading the second of three volumes of the diaries of Chips Channon, who was a politician and a socialite in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Mm-hmm. And his diaries, unexplicated diaries, have been edited by Simon Heffer, three hefty volumes. It's full of political and society gossip from yesteryear. But now you could regard it almost as important history, because I'm reading about the time in the run-up to the Second World War. So there's an element of history as well as social history. A political history. So there's serious gossip, there's lightweight gossip. Well, how are we going to divide our conversation today about gossip?
Well, why don't we talk about the sort of talking incessantly kind of gossiping, because I think that's the one that you will recognise most.
Oh, thank you. You mean as in blathering?
Blather, yes. Blather. There's so many kind of really onomatopoeic words when it comes to gossiping, I suppose, understandably. So blather is a really old word meaning to babble. And I think it is about the sound that comes out of your mouth. I said a bit of a blah, 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 blah.
Oh, so it's a version of blabbing.
Yes. And so many of these actually also are born out of maybe a sort of almost childlike imitation of language. Like with the blah, blah, the, you know, the mum and dad came about because those are the sounds that come out of a baby's mouth. So a lot of them are based on sort of baby talk. And I think babbling is one of those.
So babble and blather are related one to another.
Well, ultimately, if you go, probably go back to the same ancient root, but the idea is simply that it's representative of the sound. Mumble is another one. If you keep mum, you are mumbling.
So blabbermouth exists. Is there a blather, anything else blather?
A blatherskite. What's a
blatherskite?
Well, you blatherskite or a blatherskite. That's a great Scots word, where the skite is actually related to shite. and that's one of the true old English Anglo-Saxon swear words. Shite, remember that?
No.
Oh, it's from the old English shitter, essentially, and it was no ruder than defecation would be today.
Oh, it was quite a normal word.
It's totally neutral. Yeah, oh, like bollocks and all those others. Oh. So blatherskite, I love that. And then it was taken up, actually, in the American War of Independence, weirdly. So soldiers would call each other blatherskites. And so it settled in North America and then sort of, you know, reintroduced itself over here.
So you're burbling, you're blathering. Mm. There is a word you've mentioned before, bloviating.
Oh, bloviating, yes. Yes, I used to tweet bloviating quite a lot when there was a certain PM in situ. Yes, to bloviate is, you've got blow, and the idea is you're kind of blowing hot air. So it's sort of inflated rhetoric, essentially, being bombastic and, you know, remember where bombastic comes from?
Something to do with bombs and bombardiers or...
No, to do with bombast, which is a stuffing, sort of stuffing like you might have in the gilet that you're wearing, actually. It was sort of padding.
Oh.
So it could be padding in a sort of tunic or even in a coat of arms, and that was bombast. So, when
so it's filling the air with nothingness.
Exactly.
That's what bombast is.
Bombast, yeah.
That's very intriguing when you're saying just filling the air with sound. Verborrhea. Is that a real word? Or
logorrhea.
Is it logorrhea or verborrhea?
Yeah.
Logorrhea is what? That's like diarrhea, but it's about words.
Yes, Greek logos. So we are logophiles here today. That's Greek logos means word.
We love words.
Yes, we do. So logorrhea, is basically...
It's diarrhea, verbal diarrhea.
It is.
Verbal diarrhea is logorrhea.
Absolutely.
And verborrhea is just an invented word.
I've never heard of verborrhea. I thought it might be your invented word.
Oh, good.
Is that...
good. Excellent. I'm trying to claim that.
How do you spell diarrhea?
Diarrhea, DIARRHOEA.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Absolutely right. And it goes back to a Greek word meaning to flow. It's nice.
So gossiping is chattering away. We sometimes meet up and we chew the fat.
Yes.
Now, why does that mean making conversation, chewing the fat?
Chewing the fat, I think, began as a sort of bit of a maritime tradition. So sailors would often pass the time by literally chewing fat that was left over from their meals. And it would just be like chewing tobacco, really. It would
or give chewing gum.
Or chewing gum.
Say a bit of fat.
And a lot of that, do you remember where the liquid fat went? Weirdly, that was used in things like candle making and various things. So the sailors would collect this liquid fat that was a residue of all these meals, and it would all come together in what was called a slush. So a slush fund was essentially what they would get from selling this fat when they came to port.
Good grief.
Mm.
So fat collected on board a ship while sailors are away for many months from the meat they cook.
Yeah.
They've got pigs on board, they slaughter the pigs, they cook the meat. Fat is left over.
Yeah.
They kept this.
Yeah.
The fat was called slush.
Yes.
And it was collected and sold. And that was the origin of the phrase slush fund.
Yes.
Isn't language extraordinary?
Mm.
I mean, I have to say, I love knowing you.
Oh,
no, I do.
Thank you.
rabbit and pork, is that rhyming slang for talk?
It is. That's where you get porky pie from, I think.
Oh, really? Go on.
If you tell a porky, you're telling a porky pie a lie. But I think the talk bit kind of feeds into that.
So to gossip is to chew the fat. Have a bit of a rabbit and pork,
yeah.
But don't get into porkies. because they're porky pies are lies.
Exactly.
Let's move on then from just chattering, the chitter-chatter. Have we discussed chatter before, haven't we, the chattering of clowns?
Chatter again, also, it's also, think onomatopoeic, because you can almost, if you trace these back, there are what we call, what linguists call cognates in lots of different languages. So that means very similar forms in different languages, suggesting they all go back to one ancestor ultimately. So there are lots of similar words to chatter in other languages. So I think it probably was born from its sound. That's my guess.
So let's now go on to gossiping in the sense of spreading the word.
I want to ask you something first, though. When you were an MP, was it constant gossip in the Commons? Or I always imagine it was a very gossipy
place. I was a government whip, and which was a very one of the most fascinating times of my life was being a government whip. The whip in Parliament is both a piece of paper, you're sent a whip every week, which gives you the business of the week, and the business of each day is underlined either once, literally underlined, there's a line underneath what the business is described as, once, which you don't have to turn up, twice, you do have to turn up, unless you can produce a pair, somebody from the other side who agrees not to vote when you don't vote, so that gives you an excuse not to be there, or it's underlined literally three times, that is a three-line whip, and you have to be there, unless you can produce a doctor's certificate showing you are dead. So that's it's a document, but also it's a person. And all the parties have whips, and they are designed to help manage the party business within the House of Commons. Now, in terms of collecting gossip, there are also a dozen to 15 people who will be human whips, and all the parties have that. And you would have a part of the country that is yours. I was an MP in the city of Chester, so I looked after the Northwest. And therefore, all the MPs in the Northwest on my side, I knew them, and I collected their thoughts, their worries, their concerns, and I suppose, in a sense, gossip about them. But mainly, the gossip I was collecting was what their views were, that they were thinking they were worried about this or worried about that, and you would then feed that gossip in. And this gossip, you would go and write down. And in my day, you kept these bits of gossip on pieces of paper in the safe. And nobody could ever remember the combination of the safe, because it was always the date of the birth of the Prime Minister of the day. And the Prime Minister of the day in my day was John Major. And nobody could remember his birthday. He always complained, never got cards. So we had to keep a copy of Who's Who on top of the safe. So this copy of Who's Who was on top of the safe with the page turned down for John Major. And, so anybody came in, we just said, so it's John Major. We actually underlined the birthday. So it's rather giving away what was in the safe.
Yeah.
But yes.
Okay, thank you for that. So I've always wondered, always wondered. But yeah, should we move on
explore to, some of that.
Onto that kind.
What is all that going to be?
Well, have you heard of clatter fart? I love clatter fart.
I've not heard of
clatter fart. That's a bit like a blatherskite, but that is somebody who will tell anybody anything. So no matter how profound a secret or how silly a secret, they will go around and tell everybody. So the clatter bit is, that was an old, very old word for gossiping or running off at the mouth. And the fart bit was just added on as an insult, a childish kind of insult.
Very
and
good.
Farts, if you remember, are everywhere in English.
The British love a good fart, do they?
We love a good fart. Petomain, remember?
Oh, Le Petomain. Yeah. He was a professional farter, Le Petomain. He was a Frenchman who did a kind of, a cabaret act, a vaudeville act, a musical act, where he would come onto the stage, candles would be lit at this end of the stage, he would stand on that end of the stage, lure his bloomers, and he would blow out the candles from one stage. Extraordinary. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And he would move further and further. He was in the wings, and still he was managing to blow out the candles.
I think regular listeners to the Purple Podcast know that we have talked about farting at least 25 times. I'm just going to test you on whether or not you've listened to me over the last 3 years or whatever.
4 years.
Give me 4 years. Give me four words in English that have farting behind them. I do apologise for this, by the way.
Four words in English that have farting behind them.
Yes.
A sparrow fart.
Well, yes.
Well, isn't that rather good?
Explicit reference.
Farthing. Farthing.
No.
Farthing. Penny farthing.
No, I just mean...
Because when you're riding on it, you know, you're so high up, you're breaking wind every time you go, that's it.
Fart thing. Was it a fart thing originally?
What are you trying to tell me? Ask me.
Okay, so just as in their etymology has got farting within it, but you would never have guessed.
I can't think of any.
Feisty. Feisty began as a word for a little farting lapdog. This gets worse. It was a fisting hound. And yes, and it goes back to the German for farting. So
I don't want to ask, because there may be young people here, what is a fisting hound?
I don't know why they were called fisting hound, but to fist in that sense was also to break wind.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Okay. So feisty, fizzle, was to break wind quietly. Going back to Petermain...
Was that a little fizzle, darling? Yes, I do.
But going back to Mr. Petermain, partridge, because it sounds as it takes flight, sounds like someone breaking wind, and
forgive
the churring
me.
Of the wind.
Forgive me, partridge is called a partridge.
From petit, which is to break wind in French.
How incredible.
And the if you're hoisted by your own
when you're guitar. Singing that at Christmas, a partridge in a pear tree.
If you're hoisted by your own petard, you are...
But yes. I thought that was an explosion of petard.
It is an explosive, but it again goes back to the original explosion or between your legs.
Well, there we are.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with gossip whatsoever, except we had the clatter fart.
The clatter fart.
We have also got... just interesting ones. We weirdly don't know where the words boy and girl come from. But there is a theory, and this is why I bring it in, that girl and garrulous are linked, meaning because girls are thought to be the chatterboxes. And then also, one of my favourite examples of words that wear their hearts on their sleeve was a secretary, remember? Because a secretary was originally a secretary, a keeper of secrets.
Ah.
Yeah, so had someone else's gossip and kept it private.
Very good.
Yeah.
What about conjobbling?
Conjobbling. Oh, yes, I put this one into your notes because I love this one. To conjobble is basically to get together with a friend, possibly over a bite to eat and have a good gossip. It's just something about the jobbling. There's another word in the West Country, a really old word for gossiping, which is jafficking. And maybe because it sounds like jaff cake, but I imagine also the idea of sort of, you know, chewing the gossip. Just to sort of finish the loop on the women and gossip.
Yes.
So, you know, nowadays kids will talk about spilling the tea. So, you know, the teenager will say, oh, I've got some tea for you. And tea has become a stand-in for gossip because it could either stand for truth or it could literally be a reference to the drink, because for a very long time, drinking tea, was associated with gossip. So it was called cat lap because cats were often associated with gossipy old women, and prattle broth as well. The idea is that they would spread gossip while drinking tea. So a lot of men, there were real pamphlets distributed warning men against letting their women drink tea because it would encourage this swapping of, of untruths.
Prattle broth is tea,
yeah.
Then?
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Cat lap is also tea. Scandal broth, these are all euphemisms, synonyms for tea.
Yes.
So what we've been talking about, I mean, the thing that, in fact, this is a phrase the Duke of Edinburgh used, cock and bull stories.
Oh,
where
yes.
Does that, when talking about stories that weren't true, a cock and bull story. Why is it called a cock and bull story?
Yes. So the idea is that there is a lovely story, and tourist guides essentially tend to come up with the best stories when it comes to etymologies, really. And most of them, sadly, aren't true. But the tale that accompanying this one is that there were two inns in Stony Stratford, which is near Milton Keynes, and they were convenient stopping points on the way to London. And it said that there were two inns, one called the Cock and one called the Bull. And it said they would basically come up with competitions to liven things up, and they would have a bet that each of them would plant a salacious story that they knew others would pick up and run with. And they would see whose passengers, who'd stopped for refreshments, would be the quickest in taking it to London. And it was always made up, which is why they talk about the cock and bull story. Lovely, lovely tale. Sadly, probably not true. We haven't got any evidence to substantiate it. But we don't know why cock and bull. There is a very similar expression in French, which is coq à l'âne, from the cock to the ass. As in, sorry, that sounds very rude, as in the animal. I've only just thought about that. Obviously, I don't know what they were telling each other. just move on.
Honestly.
Oh, sorry.
Buggered if I know.
Oh, dear. Right, anyway.
But
so
people talk
story.
About talking bull as though one... But that's short for bullshit, isn't
bullshit,
it?
Bullshit, yeah.
So talking bull, that's not the same. BS. So cock and bull is not cock and bullshit, an abbreviation of that.
No.
As people say, you're talking cock, meaning you're talking rubbish, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. No, well, it could be. It could all be part of the same story because there's no bull in the original French expression.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just give us a few more. I mean, when we're talking about this kind of gossip that verges on scandal, there's a whole play written by Richard Brinsley Sheridan, The School for Scandal, which there are characters with wonderful names like Snakebite, and Mrs. Sneerwell is one of the characters
good.
In that.
That's quite Dickens.
And it's full of, well, it's pre-Dickens.
Mm.
Full of scandal.
Yeah.
What's the origin of the word scandal?
So scandal and slander are two sides of the same coin, and they go back to a Latin word meaning a stumbling block, and originally it was a bit like a loggerhead as well. This was a block of wood which very cruelly was attached by a rope to the leg of an animal to stop it straying. And the idea when you're at loggerheads with someone is perhaps it was used as a sort of weapon. But the slander and the scandal originated with that, and I think both of them were applied in the church to things that stopped... It was sort of hearsay or heresy that stopped the pure route for faith. So they were stumbling blocks to faith, if you like. And from there, it became attached to things that weren't true or they weren't quite... Well, I suppose they still are heresy, but in a different sort of way.
Yeah. Earlier than Sheridan is Shakespeare. Mm. There's a character in a Shakespeare play called Rumour.
Ah.
Actually, a personification of rumour, someone who spreads rumour. Mm. That's all to do with this same... territory. What's the origin of rumour?
That's French, so we've got that from the Normans.
And what does...
I think rumour is... I think it's got to do with noise, if I remember rightly. Because they call le bruit is also gossip, isn't it?
Le bruit, the rumour going around. Yes, the rumour is. Well, the rumour is that we ought to be taking a break.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host. Created it, been doing it for 7 years... I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you will instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. 2 episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
Welcome back to Something Rhymes with Purple.
Yep.
We are talking about gossip today in all its manifestations. And you know what we haven't touched upon is, well, other kinds of gossiping. You know, letting the cat out of the bag, revealing a secret.
Mm.
That's a sort of gossip. Cat out of the bag. Why is it so called?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, this one takes us back to markets particularly in the Middle Ages, when quite often what was... thought to be a pig was seen to be quite valuable in terms of the meat that it could yield. And animal lovers look away, really, because instead of a little piglet being bought in a sack, quite often any shady dealer might substitute a poor little kitten. I mean, both of them poor animals. So when the purchaser got home and they opened the bag, it would be a kitten rather than a pig. That was the idea. So it was a selling ruse.
A little bird told me. Where does that come from?
Yeah, well, I did look this up. So the first reference was 1546, and it is from Proverbs of the English Tongue. And it says, I did lately hear by one bird that in mine ear was late chanting, which is quite sweet. So essentially, it's just little birds bringing messages. But remember that the origin of jargon is the Anglo-Norman jargoon, meaning the chattering of birds, because... to anybody else, it's meaningless, but to them, it makes perfect sense, which is the idea of jargon, because it's a sort of tribal thing. So the idea is that sort of birds carrying messages, which only you probably could understand.
I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Why would a horse be telling you? Anyway, what does that mean? Heard it straight. I mean, know what it means. I heard it straight from the original source.
Yeah.
Heard it straight from the horse's mouth?
Well, I think it's if you go racing and you are placing a bet on a particular horse, the best kind is if the horse itself told you that it was going to win. That's the idea. So you've got a direct source, is the idea.
Now I think it's the opportunity for us to involve this wonderful audience.
Yes.
So should we bring the lights up so we can see everybody
this
on all the different tiers?
This is where I can put my glasses on so I can actually see people.
Tiers, is that the word tiers? Is that come from T-I-E-R-S, a third, meaning a third, a third, a third?
No, it doesn't actually. It goes back to the Romans again. It just means a different level, so it's all about strata, essentially.
So we've got people all over the theatre. How do we conduct this? We just
well,
ask them they've got
questions?
Well,
no, I have got some. Anna from Geneva has a question.
Anna
for us.
From Geneva?
Yes.
She's there in the second row.
Oh, hello, I can see you.
Anna, a microphone is coming to you. Tell us, first of all, what you were doing in Geneva, when you were last there, why you're here.
I live in Geneva, I grew up in Geneva, and I'm here to see my daughter to see you.
Excellent. Aww. Your daughter is with you?
Ruth.
Well done.
Hi.
So what is the question, Anna from Geneva, you would like to ask us?
So the question I had, my mother and her father before her, they always had this funny word, which actually is in line with what we were talking about today, which is fiddlesticks.
Ah.
And I wondered what the origin of that expression was.
Mm.
Fiddlesticks.
It's brilliant. No one knows, sadly. So I know. I would love to. So it was a euphemism. We're talking about euphemisms for the devil, actually. So again, it was another way of not mentioning the devil. But why it has anything to do with the sticks of a fiddle? Because it doesn't really, you know, or violin bow, for example. We're just not sure. Maybe it's because it's so satisfying. But I will tell you when it was first used.
It's a great word. Oh, fiddlesticks. Yeah. I mean, it is another of those words that begins with F. And, you know, often one is looking for euphemism. No, seriously.
Yeah, it's true. Fudge. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So in Flamingo. The 14th century, 13th, no, sorry, in the 1400s, so 15th century, you have the devil rides on a fiddlestick. So that's there's a fine commotion. So you'll find that there. And that's Shakespeare used that as well in the Henry
the
Fourth.
The devil rides on a fiddlestick.
Not to care a fiddlestick. That is from, the 1700s. And
fiddlesticks
end in the 1600s. But it just says it comes from
a fiddlestick is useless without a fiddle.
Mm.
So maybe it's something to do with that. Fiddlesticks. It's useless, you know, it's just a stick without the fiddle.
Yeah.
What
it does
good
sound
is it
really
for?
Satisfying, though. But yes, origin unknown.
Can
sorry
I say
about
how awful this must be to have flown all the way from Geneva?
Oh, dear.
It's like it's having come to the mountain and you've climbed up the mountain. There is the prophet. And you ask the prophet the question, and he says, well, I'm buggered if I know.
I'm so sorry.
What was the, can I ask, what did the flight cost you? Because lovely. Mm, any other
you.
Questions up on high? We'll take them in tier turns.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
So I'm originally from Cumbria. My name's Claire. And my mum always says, something soft as clarts.
Oh, yes.
But my brother-in-law thinks she's making it up.
No.
Is it?
Clart. Oh, plodging through the clart. Yes. To plodge is to, do you remember, to wade into the boggy ground, and clart is exactly that. It's kind of, it's a variant on clout, which was a clod of earth. Did you know that cloud also is related to clod, because they look like clods of sort of
the word
things.
Cloud, those beautiful flying things in the sky
is related
are
to
related
clod.
To Cumbrian sods of earth.
Yes, and clodhoppers and all of those.
Clod
but anyway,
hoppers.
Clart, yeah, it's absolutely, it is.
Is this
in
a
existence.
Cumbrian phrase then?
Well, she's from Cumbria as well. Same place, never heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's. I think it's fairly old, but you will still definitely find it.
Yeah, my mum's quite old, bless her.
So am I. That's what, when I heard about plodging through the clart, I was extremely happy. So yeah, it definitely exists.
All right,
lovely,
thank you.
And well done, families coming together, being together,
yeah,
mothers and
that's
daughters.
A lovely thing about these shows, actually.
Yes, families come together.
We need to do the trio.
It's very exciting, this.
Okay, so my first word was colporteur.
Colporteur. And how's that spelled? As in the famous American composer, songwriter?
C-O-L, P-O-R-T-E-U-R.
See how that's spelled again?
C-O-L, P-O-R-T-E-U-R.
Colporteur.
Mm-hmm.
And The audience have come up with definitions.
They have.
Would you share them with us?
I will. So you're choosing the winner, remember?
Yep. Okay.
So, colporteur, this is from Paulette in Cambridge, who says that a colporteur is the assistant in the operating theatre who is responsible for carrying off the intestines during a transplantation.
Oh,
that's very clever. Chloe in Sherwood Forest says it's one who sees hills to the left. Col, poor.
Port. Port starboard.
Ah, very good.
Col, port, oh.
Very good.
Oh.
And this is from Jane in Plymouth. A London porter who thinks anything goes. That's very clever.
I love that. That's clever.
Yes. And this is from Stephen in County Durham, from County Durham. The toilet based on coal linking to the colon, port suggesting the destination for the colon, and the noise often made by the next visitor. Okay, I'm going to start this again. The toilet is based on coal linking to the colon. Port suggests the destination for the colon, and the noise often made by the next visitor to the toilet once the colon port has been used. That's very clever. Okay.
I've got to choose a winner.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to choose, and then I want to hear from you what the real meaning of colporteur is. I'm going to choose the assistant in the operating theatre who's responsible for carrying off the intestines during transplantation. Paula in Cambridge, you're winning a T-shirt.
So the real definition is a person who sells books and newspapers.
Oh, why is that?
I know, it's weird. So two possibilities. One is it's from the French comporteur, meaning to sort of carry with you. So they were itinerant salespeople, much like the opposite of stationers. So stationers who sold stationery were stationary because they weren't itinerant tradespeople. They actually were fixed usually to a college or a university. So stationers were stationary. Both go back to the Latin stationarius in one place, but it's because we wanted to distinguish between the two, because it would get very confusing otherwise.
How intriguing.
Anyway, so colporteur either comes from that, or colporteur meaning you carry it around your neck, so maybe they sort of sold, I don't know if they would carry have a thing strapped to their neck, and then they would have their newspapers in their little sort of bag.
As in port. Yeah.
Anyway, none of them as interesting as the definitions that we have. Okay, this one I think is a bit more obvious. Pot valiance. And Rupert in Avon Dasset says, a pot valiance is a good effort from a saucepan. Like that one. Sarah in Wallington says, pot valiance is the ability to keep a beer steady on a belly.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And Andrew in Leighton Buzzard says, it's a chance meeting with your weed dealer. That's very good. Which one are you going to go for?
They're very, very clever ones, aren't they? I'm going to go, though, because I can picture it so well, to pot valiance being the ability to hold a pint pot on your belly.
Yes. Another nice way of saying that you've got rather a large belly is that you are ventripotent.
Ventripotent,
yes.
Ventripotent.
So it's a powerful belly.
Well done. So
okay.
Paul gets that prize there.
The real definition of pot valiance is the courage that only comes from alcohol. So it's a bit like Dutch courage.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, a pot panion is your drinking mate.
A pot panion.
And a pot panion is you. Okay. Nice. Cryptomnesia. This is hard. Cryptomnesia. Mark in London, is it Superman's baby food? This is really good. From Kate in Hadlow, when you hear a celebrity has died and you think they're already dead and died years ago.
Oh, yes.
I think that's very good. Cryptomnesia. And then Fabio in London. Oh, Fabio. Fabio in London says that cryptomnesia is when your tech friend explains to you how cryptocurrency works for the third time and you immediately forget it. I think that's
isn't it? That has to be the winning one. Yes. Fabio.
Yeah, very good.
Cryptomnesia. Cryptomnesia.
And it's actually quite complicated, this, in philosophical terms. So cryptomnesia is when you forget something and then think you've discovered it as a new and original thought another time. Remember that? Just like, oh, wow. And actually, you already knew this. You've just forgotten. There's another word for that, which is jamais vu. Jamais vu is when you walk into somewhere which should be really, really familiar to you because you've been there so many times, but it's like you've never seen it before. Jamais vu.
Jamais vu. Never saw it.
So those are all brilliant, and I think there are some worthy winners of T-shirts there.
So, we have to conclude with my poem.
We have to do your poem.
And I'd chosen a poem, and I chose it before the show, from a favourite book of mine, Cyril Fletcher's Terse Verse. I don't know if any of you remember Cyril Fletcher. He was the man who did Odd Odes. And he and I worked on this collection of short poems many, many years ago. Let me have a look inside and see when it was. 1982. So that's 40 years ago. And given that boozing and drinking came up in several cases while we were talking this afternoon, I thought this might be the poem to share with you. It's by one of my favourite poets, Anon. No one knows quite who wrote this. It's called Lifespans. The horse and mule live 30 years, and nothing know of wines and beers. The goat and sheep at 20 die, and never taste of scotch or rye. A cow drinks water by the ton, and at 18 is mostly done. The dog at 15 cashes in, without the aid of rum or gin. The cat in milk and water soaks, and then in 12 short years it croaks. The modest, sober, bone-dry hen lays eggs for nogs, then dies at 10. All animals are strictly dry. They sinless live and swiftly die. But sinful, ginful, rum-soaked men survive for 80 years. And some of them, a very few, stay pickled till they're 92.
That's brilliant. Please keep following us, and please start to follow us if you enjoyed the show today. You can find us on social media at Something Rhymes on Twitter and Facebook, or at Something Rhymes With on Instagram. Something Rhymes With Purple is a Something Else and Sony Music Entertainment production. It was produced by Harriet Wells, who's here in the wings with us, alongside Sam Hodges and Andrew Quick from Tilted for the live shows. Additional production came from Chris Skinner, Ollie Wilson, Jen Mystery, Teddy Riley, and...
I've got some hot goss about him. It's Gully.
Gully. Oh, can't wait.
Thank you for being with us. That's been Something Rhymes With Purple.